Okay, let's dive right in. You sent over some really fascinating material. It's about something we probably all use without a second thought. Our email addresses.
Right, specifically that first name dot last name at domain format.
Exactly. And it turns out this, like, seemingly harmless setup, it can actually be a pretty big security headache.
Especially, for critical organizations across Europe, we're talking government, banking.
So we're going to unpack why this is a, well, a surprisingly big deal. Look at what the experts are saying, maybe what they aren't saying too.
And use some real-world examples, to show you why it matters.
Okay, so the sources you shared, they zero in on government, banking, and, related sectors.
Military, police, judiciary, primarily in places like France, Spain, the UK, Germany.
Right. And they look at how common this email format is, what the official cybersecurity guidelines say or sometimes don't say.
And actual security incidents, plus the role of OSINT, open source intelligence, basically pulling out the key takeaways for you.
And it's kind of wild how common this first name, last name thing is.
It really is.
Like in the UK, even the Government Digital Service, the Home Office, they use it.
And the banks, big names, BNP Paribas, UBS, Barclays, Deutsche Bank, Santander.
The usage there is massive, right? Sometimes over 90% for that format or something. Very close. Very guessable.
Which strongly suggests it's likely just as common in military, police, justice departments, too.
The very places you'd expect, or at least hope for, maximum security.
And what's really interesting, or maybe concerning, is the disconnect.
How so?
Well, you have these national cybersecurity agencies, ANSSI in France, INSPE in Spain, NCSE in the UK, BSI in Germany. They're all over the technical stuff.
SBF, DKIM, DMRC,
Yes,
TLS, all
all
of them.
that, exactly. Verifying senders, securing the connection, crucial things, absolutely.
Okay.
But they offer a surprisingly little guidance on the risks of the email address format itself.
Huh. It's like putting extra locks on the door, but leaving your full address painted on the front lawn.
That's a good way to put it. Fortifying the castle walls, but, handing out maps to the entrance.
So, okay. You might be sitting there thinking, all right, big organizations, government, banks. Why should I care?
That's the key question. And the answer is predictability.
Because the format is so simple.
Right. It makes it incredibly easy for attackers. They can just use public information.
Like names off LinkedIn. Or company
Okay.
about S pages.
Precisely. Names,
Yes.
affiliations,
Okay.
it's all out there. They use that to build these highly accurate target lists that's OSINT in action.
Open source intelligence, just scooping up freely available data.
And there are even automated tools now that can scrape websites and compile massive lists of these predictable emails, like super quickly.
Wow, so these easily discoverable addresses become what, step one for an
A
attack?
launching pad, exactly,
Yeah.
for targeted attacks. The report mentioned the UK Parliament getting hit by a brute force attack.
And the predictable emails made it easier.
Significantly easier, yeah. Attackers could identify thousands of MP and staff emails just based on the known format.
Any other examples?
There was a security researcher who exploited a predictable Toyota email format,
And got what?
full admin access to one of their supplier management systems, just starting from the email pattern.
That's quite something.
And think about sophisticated groups, like state-sponsored ones. Nobelium, for instance, targeting government and diplomatic entities in France.
Being able to reliably guess email addresses must be crucial for their kind of espionage.
It's often a critical first step. Find the target, then launch the phish or malware.
So even if you have those strong technical defenses, SBF, DKIM, DMR,
Which are vital, don't get me wrong, they stop email spoofing.
but they don't stop an attack coming from a real account that's been compromised.
Exactly. Especially if that account was easy to find in the first place because the address was guessable.
And security awareness training, well, important.
Also vital, but it doesn't change the fact that the address itself might be, overly exposed, like putting a big target on it.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? In this digital world where our footprint is everywhere.
How much thought do we actually give, or do the organizations we trust give to these seemingly small details, like the email format?
The report suggests we're maybe overlooking something important here.
It seems so. Moving towards less predictable formats, maybe using aliases more, understanding OSINT risks better, these seem like crucial steps.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. What are the key recommendations from the experts who put this analysis together?
Well, they suggest a few things. First, developing clearer guidelines for less predictable email formats.
Especially for people in high-risk roles, I imagine.
Definitely. Also, maybe mandating the use of aliases for public-facing interactions. Don't put your direct internal email out there.
Makes sense. What else?
Expanding security training. Make sure it covers these OSINT risks, how easy it is for attackers to find information.
And keep pushing the technical controls, too.
Absolutely. Fully implement things like multi-factor authentication, MFA. That adds another layer of security, even if your address and password are compromised.
And one more thing they mentioned, actively monitoring.
Yeah, proactively monitoring open sources. See what information about your organization's email structure is actually out there, publicly visible.
So what this really highlights for you, the listener, is a subtle but pretty significant vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Right in our everyday online communication, particularly within critical sectors.
It pushes us, I think, to look beyond just the content of our emails.
And consider the security of the addresses themselves.
Maybe the big takeaway question for you to mull over is this.
Mm-hmm.
Are we, perhaps unintentionally, making it far too easy for the bad guys just to find us online in the first place?
It's definitely something worth considering.